This is Pam Forman standing in for Jared today. And my guests are Toby Sullivan and Sue Jeffrey, both of the Maritime Museum, Kodiak Maritime Museum. Toby is the executive director. And Sue, are you on the board of directors?
No, I'm not on the board of directors.
You're a historian.
I was a founder.
You're a historian. Okay. So one of the reasons we're here to talk about things with the Maritime Museum is talking about the boat parade, which is coming up a little bit later this month, right?
Yeah. And again, Pam, it's good to be here. This is Toby Sullivan. I'm the executive director of the Maritime Museum. Yeah, we're doing the Harbor Lights Festival again this year on Saturday, December 16th. It includes a boat parade from 6 to 7 p.m. and a reception at the brand new Kodiak Marketplace from 5
cool.
to 9. We're really looking forward to that.
That's cool. So the parade itself starts again at 6?
6, and it takes about an hour. There's a ferry departure at 5:15,
so
Coast Guard and Harbor Master, it's all good. The ferry will be clear of Spruce Cape about 5:45, and then the parade can come the other way, coming south through the channel, under the bridge, past Oscar's Dock, and they'll disperse out by the Pier 2.
Okay. All right. So last year, how many boats do we have in the parade? Do you remember?
I can't remember the number. It varies. I think we had about 25 boats last year. We've had as high as 41.
Mm-hmm.
We've had as few as 10, I think. But I've had board members who had anxiety about not enough boats or no boats. And I said, if we have one boat, if we have a kayak with a light bulb on the bow, that's as Christmassy as it gets. It'll be great.
Yep. Yep. And actually, those kayaks lit up are pretty cool, watching them go through the water with all the bigger boats.
Some people have done some amazing jobs with the lights. Every year I'm impressed and just go, I can't believe that they've had that imagination and put the work into it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had big boats like the Sea Strike. It's a 130-foot oil response vessel that they park in Dog Bay. And those guys ran that thing through last year. That was the biggest boat. And then I think we had, I don't know if we had a kayak last year, but we had some little pleasure boats that were 18, 20 feet long.
It's weather dependent, I think, on those little boats.
It is. And speaking of weather dependent, just so everybody knows, in case it's too windy to safely pull off a parade, the boats will tie up as we have done in the past. Just stay tied up in the harbor and people can walk through the floats and socialize on the floats with their friends and family and look at the lights on the boats in the harbor.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are looking forward to it. I think you told me, Toby, that it was like 2 days after Halloween, you're walking in the harbor, and somebody said, so when is a boat parade? Because he'd already been thinking about how he was going to do it this year, and it really is showing, isn't it, as the years go by, how excited people are to, you know, think ahead and get all the equipment and probably crew to do it.
We had a phone call October 16th.
Yeah.
Somebody
wanted to know the date.
And I said, well, I did have a date. We had planned it last spring just based on, as we all know, there's only so many weekends the week before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff going on.
Is that me? Sorry.
So, but yeah, we picked it last year. So it's Saturday, December 16th. I think it's a good day for it.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah. And it's really nice because with having the Kodiak Marketplace, because in years past, it's been so crowded that, you know, it really was kind of, you know, cramped. And so I think there'll be plenty of comfortable places for people to sit or stand or whatever and enjoy the festivities.
So you'll be upstairs in the marketplace.
Downstairs in that big lobby.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And we'll be serving cookies and hot chocolate and cider.
Okay.
From one of the kiosks, the
yep.
one right at the T there.
Yep.
And the Canna people have just been fabulous, very easy to work with. And I think they're secretly thrilled to have a big event in their
mm-hmm.
new beautiful building.
I've worked
with
them with Galley Tables, and they've been great to
right.
work with. So, yeah.
And
I think that's great that you're going to be downstairs kind of in the shop area and milling around down there. So that's great.
And there's those entrances off
yep.
the parking lot, off the alley, and then right off the harbor so people can go in and out of the harbor easily. They've got good access.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
And it'll make it easy to hand out, hot beverages from the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was built for it.
Right. And I'll put in a plug. We still need a few volunteers.
Oh, yeah. Never too late.
To hand out the beverages, et cetera.
Yeah.
Beverages and cookies. It's light duty, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. So, see your neighbors.
Right. But, yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Again, the weather, who knows? We've had weather, as everyone knows, kind of like what we had last night and things like that. And mm-hmm. people still – we had one year when the weather was awful and the harbor was full of people. There were hundreds of people down on the floats.
Dogs, I remember that.
Little
yeah.
kids in strollers. And
you could barely pass each other. There were so many people on the floats, you could barely walk by each other. It was great.
And what I remember is there were these sea otters in the harbor sleeping right next to the floats. And people were standing there, and they were just looking up at us. Only in
Kodiak. Taking photos, I'm sure. Not the otters, the people taking the photos. So let's talk about the route just one more time. If I am a boat and I want to sign up, what do I do?
We have a sign-up sheet I've been posting on Facebook, and it'll be on our webpage. There's a sign-up online with a link. You click it. The form comes up. You just put your name and your number and hit send, and we get it. And then I'm going to have a paper sign-up sheet at the Harbor Master. And there's a map on our little Facebook link all over mm-hmm. on various places on Facebook. And it'll be on our Facebook page and some of the community pages and on our website. Hit one link, you'll find the map, the route, the details, and all of that will also be on paper at the Harbor Master.
And what is your website?
KodiakMaritimeMuseum.org.
Okay.
And we have a Facebook page, and I posted a couple of community ones. I won't name mm-hmm. them here, and I'll be putting some more of those out, and hopefully it'll be widely cast enough that most people will be able to find it. And they can also just call us up at 486-0384.
Okay. And I imagine we'll have a PSA running here, too, about the parade itself. So,
yes.
And you can get more information that way, too. All right. So let's hope for good weather and quite a few boats, because it's really – it's a lot of – like you're right. No matter how many boats you have, it's a lot of fun. But when you have good weather and lots of boats, it's a hoot. It really is a hoot.
It's – I mean, I think those of us who've been here a while and have seen it, there's been years where it just brought tears to your eyes. It was so much fun.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A little town in the middle of nowhere in December to have this – I mean, it was just spectacular. So let's hope for that again.
Let's hope for that indeed. And do you remember when the boat parade started?
Well, there's two histories. There was a boat parade that was started years ago, probably in the 80s or 90s. Mm-hmm. But it was very ad hoc, and it was canceled often because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were, I think, too many cancellations in a row, and it just fell apart. And so it was defunct for a number of years. And then in 2014, I was talking with our mayor, Pat Branson, and she said, you should get this parade thing going up again. And we talked about the weather, and we thought, well, we'll have the parade. Let's start that again. But in case the weather's bad, people can just stay tied up in the harbor and we'll advertise it that way.
Right.
And that was the key to success mm-hmm. because that way, no matter what the weather is, you can still have the lights and people can see them.
Yeah.
And the beverages.
And the beverages.
Yeah, and
hot chocolate and cider we're talking.
Right. And right. I should mention, Isle Bells is going to be ringing their bells at 5 o'clock on the evening of it in the marketplace. I've been working with Ella, and they're all lined up, and they've got 3 octaves, whatever that means. And
it'll sound beautiful. So speaking of other, aren't the city lights being lighted that night, too?
They are lighting the city tree? Christmas tree, I believe, in front of the Harbor Master at 5 o'clock. So it's going to be happening downtown.
So there's a lot going on. You can just kind of park a car anywhere downtown and wander around. That'll be great.
Yeah. It's good to have it all on the same night. People will be in the harbor, Christmas tree, cup of coffee. It'll be good.
Yeah. Go have dinner somewhere if you want to and then come back out and watch all the stuff.
So it's turned into a real success story, I think, for the community. And it's really a nice thing to have the week before Christmas. One thing we've hoped and haven't been as successful at is as a tourist destination in the winter to Kodiak Island in December. And that's somehow, we just can't compete with Mexico, but one hopes that it will change in the
future. Well, in the skiing, you know, the skiing here might be great, but you have to hoof it to the top of the mountain. There's no chairlifts or anything, so
that's
a different crowd too.
People, I'm sure, are thinking, well, I could fly to Kodiak, but when would I get home to Anchorage?
You never know. You never know. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Maritime History Museum. I know Sue was involved as a founder, and Toby, you've been the executive director since when?
2008.
2008,
mm-hmm.
Okay. And the organization was founded in, what did we decide?
I would think if we were became a 501c3 in 2002. So we were probably 3 years into it before then, and then realized we needed to continue doing what we wanted to do. We mm-hmm. needed to be an official organization, and that's what happened. And so I should mention the names of the women who, you know, have
sure.
Lacey Burns and Virginia Adams and the late Wanda Fields and mm-hmm. myself were just talking like fisherwomen do, and noticing that a lot of visitors were coming to Kodiak, more and more at that point. It was really growing. And they were curious about what those boats do in the harbor, what are they called and what are they fishing and all of that stuff. And then at the same time, politically, there was this big international concern about the high seas drift net. And we kind of got thrown into that, you know, kind of bad press. And so we thought we should try to educate the public, not just for visitors, but for the community too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not involved, you may not know what a seiner, you know, looks like compared to
what it does, even
mm-hmm, what it does and compared to a, you know, halibut boat or so.
Right.
So that's how we got started. And so we put together, Toby's in here, the celebrating our maritime, these waterfront guides, and then also these, the art in there is the copies or renditions of the harbor panels, interpretive panels mm-hmm. along Shelikof Avenue. So that's what we did, and then we, you know, needed to get organized, and so that's what we did. Since then, let's see, we did an oral history program called Fish Tales, Petroglyphs, and Kodiak Pioneers, and interviewed a lot of people who have, you know, since passed on, but we have it in all kinds of different forms right now, VHS and yeah, kind of rough stories, but we have their voices. And,
right. And their stories.
And their stories, yeah, that's the important, because once they're gone, so Swin Hawkinson Sr., and let's see. Calvin Skonberg comes to mind. He was 6 years old when he was on the boat that wrecked on the mainland in January in 1947, and he told his story, and while his uncle sat there and listened to see if he got it right. I remember that. Oh, so many others. I just hate to, you know, I'll just name some, but they're not forgotten. We have them.
So there have been two oral history projects that the Maritime Museum has been involved in. One that actually started before the museum was really formed as a nonprofit, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then another one that happened after you were a nonprofit that was the Crab Tail.
When Crab was king.
When Crab was king, yes.
Maggie Wall was the interviewer. And that started in 2007 and ran for a couple of years. And the programs, the three-minute programs, were on KMXT for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And we
I think
still
they're
have
still
them.
On our website, too.
They're on our website,
yeah.
too. And then we photographed the people in the oral history programs. Alf Pryor did the photographs, and we had an exhibit at the Kodiak History Museum, formerly the Baranoff. And then we've blown them up, and you see them around town. There's 40 of them, and we actually have 15 more that should be being installed this winter. So that'd be
great.
More than 50 of those big, giant portraits around town.
So is there a way to connect the portrait with the person and the person's story? Does that happen on your website?
It does, and I confess that the links need to be repaired.
Mm.
But the link works, but there needs to be more signage. So on a number of the signs, I would say half of them, where the wall was a good place to put a sign, some of it didn't work. There's a QR code, and if you scan the QR code with your camera, it brings you to the website where you can listen to the oral histories on your phone while you stand in the street and look at it.
Cool.
And we just got some grant funding from the American Seafood Company to do an interactive map of the downtown. So you'd be able to, it would be online, but it'd also be a paper handout at the Chamber and Visitor Center so that people could take the map, walk around, and know where the individual photos of different people were.
Good.
Because they're not just downtown. There's a couple of portraits, at least two, like at the City Library up the hill that visitors may not,
you know, may not see.
It's a good idea, the map.
Yeah.
And it's like a little treasure map.
Yeah.
One of the ideas when we did it was that it would be something you just sort of stumbled upon, you know, these big portraits that would intrigue
you. What the heck
you.
Is that? Yeah.
Yeah. And that part's work, the intriguing, mysterious part. We need to get some more information out on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all part of a process, but it's the photo idea was brilliant because the small image of what they were doing way back whenever it was, and then the large image of them today or a few years ago when the photo was taken. It's really well done. Well done.
Well, you know, we were trying to document an oral history, which is talking about the past.
Mm-hmm.
So the pictures incorporate both the past and the present. And each of the people in the portrait is holding a color photo of themselves back in the day when they were 23 years old. And
right.
Big crab fishermen or like Carmen running Solly's. Mm-hmm. So the past and the present are both in there. And we should note here, Sue knows this only too well, we are a museum without walls.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have a museum of our own. So the harbor is actually our interpretive space. And I write grants for different projects, and I always have to put that at the top of the page, that we do not have a museum you can walk into. We have an office where I work in Dog Bay that the city donates to us, and I have a walls full of things that people can come in. But we really do need a building. That's a pressing need. We are working with the city to find a place for us to live and be able to exhibit and to hold collections. We have an increasing collections that's in a storage locker and an office. I have a boat in my yard, an antique Opime dory. So the museum really is reached the point where it needs a space of its own where people can come in and see things and get a better idea of the history of this town and Alaska.
And a history of the town and of the community, I mean, of the island, because there's collections in Uganek and at the old cannery there and now in Altac. And I mean, it's nice to be able to give people an idea of really how expansive our history is here. And as Toby said, it really connects us with the rest of coastal Alaska as well. We tell the story.
We are the only up-and-running maritime museum in the state of Alaska. Sitka has a maritime historical society, but they're very much focused on Sitka itself. And our mission statement is the interpretation and dissemination of the maritime history of Alaska, not just Kodiak. We've definitely are reaching far beyond our capabilities at this point, but that's our reach in the future. Because no one is talking about, I mean, we all know that Kodiak has a big fishing fleet, but fishermen here fish from the Canadian border to the Arctic.
Right.
You know, 50,000 miles of coastline. And Kodiak is the center of that world. And with the links to Seattle. So in the future, we hope to tell more of those stories. We do have the Kodiak Daily Mirror monthly history piece that tells stories about all parts of coastal Alaska and the sea. So.
And it's just not – and it's – oh, I'm sorry.
Nope, go ahead.
The history of fishing here is really the history of Alaska. You know, the first people stayed here, I believe, because it was so rich in marine wealth. And then one of my favorite quotes, and I'll just read it real quick, was from Patricia Rappel, who wrote Salmon from Kodiak, the Bible of Kodiak salmon history. And she says, from 1888, this is a quote that is on my desk, and I just always look at it, remind me. From 1888 through 1890, about one half of the entire Alaskan salmon pack came from the estuary of the Karlik River. So we were the mother lode, I think, of salmon for quite a while. And so I think that there's people who come to visit who are interested in not what we're just doing now, but how long we've been doing it and how we've been doing it.
and how it's impacted the all of the cultures on the island.
Yes.
Yeah. So is your main goal now getting the building? What's your main thing that you're working on?
That's at the top of the page of our strategic plan, which okay. It was updated about 3 years ago. But yes, that is our primary goal. And then we have interim goals. I'm working right now on getting grant funding to do an exhibit, which would be exhibited at the Kodiak History Museum, but it would be our exhibit about the history of limited entry.
Oh,
because
good.
The 50th anniversary, depending on which date you pick, is coming up next year, 2024.
Really?
1974 yes. was the year that they
wow.
implemented it. And that limited entry program, initially just for salmon, had a monumental effect on coastal Alaska and Kodiak and all the villages.
Mm-hmm.
And the story of that, how it was, why they started the limited entry program and the effects 50 years on, which have had huge effects in Kodiak. So it has statewide relevance, but it has very particular impact on the Kodiak community. And no one, I was amazed as I started doing the research, no one in the state is doing any work interpretively or publicly about the limited entry program, the 50th anniversary. So we're it. It falls to us to do that, to tell that story.
Good. So you said you're working on a grant, and can you tell us anything about what you're thinking about for the exhibit?
As far as what the exhibit would be?
Yeah, what it might be.
The plan, and we've got several grants for different aspects of it, but we would interview 10 to 15 people who were there at the beginning of limited entry, because those people will not be here in 50 years.
Yeah.
And then we'll interview people who have lived with it in the years since. And so there'll be an oral history component, and there'll also be text and pictures that in some sort of a timeline tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just the story of why it happened, but how it was implemented and the effects downstream. And as I've dived into the details of it, it's not just this one history. It's a history of capitalism, because they capitalized what had before been a free resource.
Free,
it was open to anyone.
Yeah, free market versus.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that will be next fall at the History Museum.
Cool.
And the time is already blocked out.
That is cool and quite a bit of work to do.
Well, that's part of any fun thing, right?
Yeah, that's true. So, all right, so we've talked about the building goal. You've talked about your new exhibit goal. What are some of the other things that the museum is currently working on?
What we do, I still say we. I'm not an official member right now. I stepped down.
Board member emeritus.
That's right. But the harbor walking tours.
That's right. I had
forgotten. It's really important and
a big part of the summer.
It is.
Mostly it's for cruise ships, but we contract with the cruise ship companies. It's gotten quite lucrative. We make money. It helps support the museum.
Good.
But we do, if you call me up, I'll do a harbor tour. We've done them for all kinds of people.
Well, we had Board of Fish members here last spring, or early June anyway, and it worked out great. We just called up Maritime Museum. I think it was Ani because you were out fishing.
Right.
And they really appreciate it. And it's nothing like getting to know, you know, firsthand walking through the harbor.
Through the harbor, yeah.
What it's all about. So.
And it's not, it's for everybody.
I mean, yes.
I haven't gone through the entire tour, but I've caught bits of it over the years as you've done bits and pieces of it. It truly is educational and fun to go through and sort of learn about what those boats all do and what the history of our harbor was. I mean, when you think about when the harbor was established and everything that has happened in that time frame in the industry, in the community, in the island, it's pretty amazing.
And, you know, I think that we're kind of like under the radar when it comes to our, I don't know, celebrating our history. We don't have, it was founded by the Russians commercially in 1792, but there's nothing that says that signage anywhere. And so through, you know, something like the harbor tour, people learn a little bit more about that. And I know people who just have friends, you know, family friends visiting,
sure.
and they'll call up and say, hey, you want to give a tour? And chances are there's availability.
I think for cruise ship visitors, because lot of those people from all over the world, from Chinese and Japanese and lots of Europeans. Mm-hmm. And they don't always know what went on here, and it's pretty cool to do that. You know, the tour starts at Pier 2 and then it walks up Cannery Row. So we talk about the fish plants as you walk up. And, you know, where OBI is now, formerly Ocean Beauty, that's the oldest, that site is the oldest salmon cannery in Kodiak Town. Karlik is older. Okay. They had canneries. But the pilings underneath were put in there in the 1890s, and there was a cannery there. And if you look at old pictures, there wasn't a road. You had to take a boat from Kodiak down there.
Down
there was
to
no
that.
Road. But that's the oldest site of a salmon cannery in the city of Kodiak, one of the oldest industrial sites.
And they withstood the tsunami.
Yeah, the water came up to the floor. I think it came over the concrete floor, but they were up and
running. So the cannery survived.
It did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
We should plug, shall I?
Go for it.
Fish tacos. Well, I mean, we are a nonprofit, and we're looking for ways to, you know, raise money to continue our program. And probably a lot of us know that we have fish tacos at
Crabfest.
Crabfest, yes. And
yeah, our income stream is the cruise ship tours, mm-hmm. the fish taco booth at the Crabfest, and then fundraising, mm-hmm. and then grants for projects. But what people don't always realize is the grant money is great. You can do the project, but it goes mostly to pay people to do things.
To do the project,
to pay
yeah.
Maggie Wall to do the interviews.
Yeah.
So we need the fundraising part of it, and we need these other income streams. And we're on the lookout for something else to make money. We're doing some brainstorming on that.
Mm. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, nonprofits are always struggling with that, as we all know.
Here we sit in KMXT.
And we thought of
make money.
Remember, we had we've tried others, things like the dinners. We had these big dinners with guest speakers and mm-hmm. all of that. But it was a lot of work, and it really didn't, you know, bring in. So we've tried lots of little. Well, I don't know that many little things, but big things.
Yeah, everybody does.
What we thought about is having a marine yard sale on the spit where people would bring their stuff into all the stuff in their garage, and they would pay a site fee to us to put have their pickup truck to sell their equipment to people who came by. They do it in Seattle.
I like it.
Interesting idea. Mm-hmm. So when do you hope to have a building?
You know, I cannot tell you.
Okay.
We're working with the city. They are aware of our need. There's been some deep conversations between the city and the new Kodiak Historical Commission. So everybody knows the need is there, and then we're just looking for opportunities to make it happen.
All right. Well, I want to thank Sue Jeffrey, who is a founding board member of the Kodiak Maritime Museum, and Toby Sullivan, who is the current executive director of the Maritime Museum. Tell me one more time the date of the boat parade.
Saturday, December 16th.
At 6 p.m.
The boat parade is 6 p.m. The reception is 5 to 9.
All right. And I believe we are going to turn it back over to Mike.